Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
We're continuing our series this morning entitled Season of Thanks, and we're looking at all the things that we have to be thankful for. And this song about the worthiness of Jesus to praise him goes right along with what we'll be talking about today. But I was thinking back on Thanksgiving and the holiday traditions that my family had, and something interesting happened kind of developed in our holiday Thanksgiving celebration. We would always gather around the table. I love to have the cranberry sauce in the can. That was my favorite, to have that with the turkey and all of that kind of stuff. And my mom would work so hard and have this spread. And that was the only time we had a living room, and it was kind of attached to the dining room. And that was the only time we ever ate out in the formal dining room, was those big meals. And so I just remember this and family coming around. But what happened is Carol and I started dating. We've been married 27 years, and we dated for 5.5 years of that. What ended up happening was we started celebrating Thanksgiving in two locations. We would be with the Vickers, and then we would be with the Sauls, and so that meant two Thanksgiving meals, and that was something that I was okay with. I mean, that was, you know, so I got to participate in their traditions as well as enjoy the traditions that I grew up with. But this is a great time of year for us to think about all of the things that we're thankful for. And like the song that we sang earlier, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One, this is a great time of year to just soak in how God has blessed us and how thankful we are for his rich blessings in our life. But if we're not careful, we'll miss thanking Jesus. And when you think about it, he's the one that deserves our thanksgiving. And so we're going to look at a passage of scripture where the Apostle Paul talks about him thanking Jesus for what he has done in his life. So if you have your Bible, open it up to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to look at a passage of scripture where Paul is thankful for Jesus' work in his life. And if you don't have your Bible with you, it's on page 1023 in the Pew Bible there in front of you. And if you don't have a Bible and you would like to have that Pew Bible, please let that be our gift to you this morning as you have worshiped with us. It's a nice Bible, and you can have one and take it home. So if you found your place there in 1 Timothy chapter 1, please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. This is a passage of scripture where Paul has just encouraged Timothy to oppose false teachers and false teaching, and then he breaks into this thanksgiving to Jesus when he says this in verse 12, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for this time of year where we count our blessings. And Father, we are so thankful for your Son Jesus and what he did for us on the cross and how he gives us strength and power and purpose. And so, Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a passage of Scripture where in the midst of Paul talking to Timothy about opposing false teaching, that he says, he just breaks out in this praise of thanksgiving to Jesus. And number one there on your message notes is, true thanksgiving starts with Jesus. Listen, when we are counting our blessings and naming them one by one, we need to start with Jesus because he is the one that our faith revolves around. He is the one that's done for us what we could not do for ourselves. He says in this passage, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. And so he's thanking Jesus for two things here. He's thanking Jesus for strength. He's thanking Jesus that Jesus has invaded his life and given him strength to make the changes that he needed to make in his life, but also the strength to live his life in a way that honors God. Listen, some of us in this room are living in defeat and not living in victory because we're not tapping into the strength that Jesus offers us if we will place our faith in him. You see, Jesus gives us strength to do for us what we cannot do ourselves. And see, that's true in salvation. We cannot save ourselves. No amount of good works, no amount of church attendance, no amount of anything that we do ourselves would ever be enough to save us. But Jesus lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and provided a way for us to get to heaven that we couldn't do for ourselves. So that's saving faith. But we can also place our faith in Jesus right now in each moment to deal with the things that we have to do. He gives us strength for living. And so Paul just clearly says here, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength. Listen, if you need strength, if you're feeling weak in an area, you're feeling defeated in an area of your life, you can look to Jesus. And maybe it's not trying harder in that area. Maybe it's not turning over a new leaf in that area. Maybe it's trusting Jesus in that area for victory. And so we can thank Jesus not only for our salvation, but the strength that he gives us for everyday life. Thank God for the strength that we can have in Jesus as we trust him with the details in our lives. And you know, he's interested in the details of our life. He doesn't just save us and send us on our way. He saves us and wants to be intimately involved in each aspect of our lives and to where we can grow in our faith. And so he thanks Jesus for the strength that comes through knowing him and trusting him. He also mentions in this passage of Scripture that we have a place to serve, not only strength, but a place to serve. Jesus has given us the opportunity to serve him and have a purpose in this world. And Paul says this, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Now, Paul was an apostle, and he was the apostle that would take the gospel to the Gentiles. He was God used Paul to spread the gospel to the whole world at that time, especially the Gentiles. And so God had a specific purpose and ministry for Paul. And see, God has a specific purpose and ministry for each one of his children. That's each one of us in this room, that God has a specific purpose. And he challenges us to think of him, to consider others and make a difference in this world. And so he's given us a purpose. He's given us a reason that we keep going. He's giving us a reason for faithfulness that we keep going. He's given us a place to serve him. Considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Have you ever thought about that? That God has a significant place of ministry that he wants to work through your life to help change the life of another. That's a significant thing. That's not something to be taken lightly, and that's certainly something to thank God for, that God would consider us worthy, that God would consider us trustworthy, that he would trust us with ministering to other people. I feel that as a pastor. I feel that pressure that what God wants to do through my life matters in the life of other people. But listen, that's not just for pastors and deacons and Sunday school teachers. That's for every person that calls on the name of Christ. God has given them a ministry and an influence for him. And so true thankfulness starts with Jesus, and we can thank him for the strength that he gives us in the place of service, the place of significance that he also gives us. Number two there on your message notes is that Paul describes his Jesus story in this passage. Paul was pretty famous in a number of different places throughout the scripture of sharing his testimony. He shared his Jesus story with us when he said this, "Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Now, we just finished another series of our new and nearly member class today. And one of the things that we talk about in that class is our Jesus story having these three pieces. And the first piece that it has, and this is something, as I described this in Paul's life, I want you to understand that you have these same elements. If you know Jesus, you have these same elements of your testimony in your life. There's this section of before Christ. Each one of us that has trusted Christ can remember what it was like before Christ, even if we trusted Christ as a child. And in Paul's example, he says, "Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and violent man." And we remember that from the book of Acts, that it's Paul who is collecting people's coats and standing there watching the people stone Stephen to death. He was involved in that. And he doesn't pretend like that never happened in his life. He says, "Look, this was my life before Christ. I was a persecutor of the church. I was a violent man." And so he just owns that, and he shares that with us through his testimony. And listen, the past that we have is powerful because God has delivered us from some things. God has worked in our life, and that is a ministry to other people, because certainly people can appreciate someone being honest and saying, "I was a persecutor and a violent man." And when you in your life say, "There was a time where I lacked hope, or I was scared of dying, or I didn't have a purpose for life," people understand that, and they can relate to that. So there's before Christ. The second part of a testimony is how I trusted him. And that's just the details of your own life. And listen, this testimony, your Jesus story, you already know all the details. Because it was it's your story. It's what your life was like before Christ, how you trusted Christ. If that was during vacation Bible school, if that was with your parents at home, if that was during a revival service or a moving message, whatever that was, maybe it was a coworker or someone that shared the gospel with you, whatever it was, you just share that and you just tell your Jesus story. And in this short passage, and he goes on farther in other passages where he shares his testimony, Paul does, but in this passage he says, "I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief." And we know from the book of Acts that Paul was persecuting the believers, and then on the road to Damascus, he had his life changed when Jesus showed up and said, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" And that started his ministry and his life for Christ, being an apostle, and God using him in a great way. But it's just accounting how that happened. I was 19 years old, and Carol and I were attending First Baptist Orlando, Florida, and I knew that there was something missing, and one of the places that I turned was the church, because I had gone to church on Easter, and I had gone to church on Christmas, and so if I was going to look for answers, maybe a spiritual one, I went to the church that I went to church two times a year. And there was a moment, I don't know if Carol remembers this. This is part, I'm sharing part of my testimony is what I'm doing. We would sit in the balcony, okay? So we have some people sitting in the balcony, but this particular balcony had doors So there was like a foyer on the second floor, and so there would be, you know, the balcony and doors to get out and then go down the steps. And so what we would do is we would leave during the invitation time. Not something that I recommend doing, but we would sneak out during the invitation time. And there was one time that we were leaving, and we got to the door, and I grabbed the door, and I pulled it, and it wouldn't open. And so I pulled it, you know, I'm strong enough to open the door. And so I pulled it again, and so all of a sudden, we're trapped. Do you remember this? Yeah, she remembers. And so during the invitation time, we turn around and we're standing by the door because we're apparently locked in. And so we listened to the whole invitation, and God used that moment. And what had happened was, even though there was a handle, it wasn't a pull kind of door, it was a push kind of door. And so all we needed to do was push, and we would be able to escape and get to our car and get to lunch and whatever. See, that's part of my testimony, is that God used this church that I attended infrequently to share the gospel with me. And I started in the balcony, and then we were kind of back of the balcony, front of the balcony, bottom of the floor. And by the time I was sitting towards the front, and God's working in your life when you're sitting towards the front of a Baptist church. That's it. That by the way, is where God works, is in the first half of the church. And so by the time that God was working in my life, I'm down here, and I was ready to step out, and I was ready to let a minister know that I had trusted Christ. That's my how I trusted Christ story. And I can tell different versions of that, because it was true. I was kind of trusting in being a good guy and working hard and having, you know, working hard during the week and having fun on the weekends, all that kind of stuff. I can share my testimony in different ways, it's all true, but there's a strength to our testimony. But the third part is now. So it's before you receive Christ, how I trusted him, and now, the difference that Christ is making in my life right now. And then Paul, in verse 14, he says, "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." So what Paul is saying here is, I used to be a blasphemer. I used to be a persecutor of the church. I used to be an angry, violent man, but I received Jesus, and now these are the things that are in my life. There's faith, and there's love, and there's Jesus there. Listen, that is a powerful thing when we share our Jesus story, and that's part of what God's given us, this significant ministry that God has given us. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. This is a powerful passage of scripture that deals with us being an ambassador for Christ, that we're part of God reconciling the world back to himself. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Jesus in that way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." Listen, that is the story of every person that has Jesus. He comes and makes all things new. And then picking up in verse 18, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And listen to this phrase, "as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Listen, did you hear that? As though God were making his appeal through us. And that's what Paul says back in that passage of scripture, is that he's sharing his testimony, and he's making his appeal to Timothy and all those who would read this letter to Timothy, that we are his ambassadors. We speak on his behalf. And we can thank God for the strength and purposeful ministry that he's given us. And God is using us as an example of his life-changing work. And that those around us that don't know Jesus can look at our lives and our testimony, and they can understand how they too can have a relationship with Jesus. I brought something in today that's kind of important to me. I brought my fishing pole in. This is my new fishing pole that I have caught some good fish with already, even though it's new. And so I have that, but I also, proudly on display right there, also brought in some lures. So when you're fishing, one of the things that's interesting to do is you have your whole tackle box, and I brought a selection of it here. You have your whole tackle box, and you have to pick a lure that you think is going to work in that thing. And there are a lot of different ways, and Jesus mentioned how we were going to be fishers of men. And there's a lot of different lures that we can use to be fishers of men. We can simply invite someone to church. We can use something like evangelism explosion. Some of you are familiar with that. Some of you are familiar with the three circle method. Some of you are aware of continuing witness training, CWT, that was part of it. Those are all lures in your tackle box, and I brought some of mine. And this is my redfish fishing setup right here. So you've got a mirror lure, and it has like a little rattle in it. So as it's swimming through the water, it rattles and gets the fish's attention. I also, this right here is called a redfish magic. Haven't caught something on this yet, but I'm hoping that it will be magic for me when I am fishing for redfish. And one of the things that we've caught the most with is a popping cork. So you have your leader and hook with a bait on there. You throw that out, you pop it a little bit, and hopefully the big fish is going to come. And I'm gonna show you all my secret. I hope that's okay. This is not normally something that fishermen do, but I'm going to show you my secret. It's this right here. This is a swimming jig head with a Bass Pro Shop Speed Shad. And it has, you can't hear it because they're just, it's just small, but it has a little rattle to it. And when it's going straight through the water, the tail like waves like a fish. And this was the lure that I caught my biggest redfish on not too long ago. But out of all these lures, and there's others, the gold spoon, and I've got some jig heads of different sizes. One of Myron's favorite things is a, I can tell I'm enjoying this much more than y'all are. I'm sorry about that. This is actually a really nice part of the message today. One of the things that Myron likes is these weighted hooks, and he catches a lot of fish on those. But there's a lot of lures in the tackle box. But listen, the thing that I've caught more fish on over the years, especially down in St. Mark's in the flats and on the oyster bars, is live bait. I mean, a live shrimp on a hook, on a popping cork, can't really do much better than that. And listen, as we are, and this is where it hopefully comes together, as we are fishing for men, the best lure that we have is our lives. We are the live bait. Now, I'm not calling you a shrimp or an LY or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But our lives are the best lure that we have. That we would be able to have a relationship with someone that we would say, let me tell you about what my life was like before Christ. Just in a conversation. You know, you don't have to bring out the family Bible, and you don't have to be sweating and nervous. You just, in the course of a regular conversation, you say, let me tell you what my life was like before Christ. And then after you share that, maybe over a meal. That's my favorite. That's my favorite witnessing opportunities right there over a meal. And then you start talking about how you trusted Christ, VBS, in a church service with your parents, the details of it. This is your Jesus story. And then talk to them about the difference that Jesus is making in your life right now. What a powerful thing that is. And then you don't stop there. You say, would you like to trust Christ as your personal Savior? And listen, you can have a significant ministry in people's lives because you're sharing your story and what God has done in your life. Now listen, sometimes when Myron and I are fishing, we have a conversation, are we going to go or not? Is the weather, how's it going to be and all that kind of stuff? And I have the same conversation with myself about hunting. Is it too cold to go out? Is it, you know whatever is going on? And listen, if we don't go, if we don't get the equipment out, if we're not ready to go fishing, we're not going to catch any fish. That's just the way that it is. If you don't go fishing, you don't catch fish. If you don't get in the tree stand and if you don't get your rifle out of the gun safe, you're not going to get a deer. You're not going to get something else. Unless there's deliberate action to set something in motion, it's not going to happen. It's time for us as a church to understand the powerful testimony that God has given each one of us, and we need to get the boat ready. We need to get the tackle out. We need to get the line put on. We need to get bullets in the gun. We need to do what's necessary so we're prepared to make a difference for Christ in the life of the people that are around us. And that's exactly what Paul is doing in this passage. He is thanking Christ for the strength and the purposeful ministry that he's given him. And he's doing something about it. He's writing to Timothy to let him know what's going on. And something here in the passage is very interesting here, starting in verse 15. Paul seems to be kind of overcome with what he's talking about, and he wants to sum it up. He wants to put an exclamation point on it. When he says this in verse 15, he says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Paul is saying, look, don't miss this right here. Listen, read carefully. Listen carefully to this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Isn't that interesting that multiple times in this passage, Paul is owning up to his own sin and calling himself the worst of sinners? Listen, when we are ministering to other people and they know we belong to a church and we know that they know that we belong to Christ, it's refreshing for them when we can own up to our own sin. Because if we're pretending like we don't have sin in our life, then that comes across as fake. It comes across as being a hypocrite. Listen, we don't have it all together. And it could be that if you would be honest with some of the struggles that you've had, that would minister to someone else so that they would come to Christ. That's exactly what Paul is doing in this passage. You see, Paul in this passage never forgot who he was before he was saved. He never pretended that he never did those things, but owned up to them. And the gospel of Jesus changes our lives, and it changed Paul's life, and it changes our lives, and we can share what God did. And number three there on your message notes is Paul is describing the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. So listen, what I'm talking about this morning is us using the power of our testimony and being honest about our stories. Listen, every single one of us that have a Jesus story can do that. We can be honest about our stories. We can share our story with others because we're thankful about what Jesus did in our life. The next thing there, number four in your message notes, is a grand display. This is back in verse 16 of 1 Timothy 1. Listen to this. He says, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Did you get that phrase, immense patience? That God was being patient with Paul. God was working in his life. And he says, God was demonstrating his grace and his patience with us through my life. Another translation says at the end of this verse, for those who are close to the kingdom, for those who are close to believing. I wonder about all the people that are around you all the time, that if you would go out in faith and share your testimony, for those that are close to faith, your testimony might be the thing that put them over. And you are a grand display of Christ's work on this earth. Because look, he saves sinners and he does something with us and he can do that with them as well. Listen, you've heard the phrase, we are the only Jesus that some will see. And we need to understand that we are examples of God's grace and his love to those that are around us. And we need to strive to live a life before them that is bait, that is a lure to them about what we have. But listen, we don't wait for them to ask us what we have that they don't have. We look for an opportunity to pray for them, like who's your one? And we look for an opportunity to share our testimony with them because we are an example of his immense patience. This passage says a grand display of his grace. You know what? People are watching us, aren't they? I mean, your friends, especially once you mention that you go to church or once they know that you're a believer, people are watching. Now, that does put a little pressure on us, but that doesn't mean be perfect. That means just be growing in your faith and looking for an opportunity to share the gospel. And be genuine with people. People can see through fake people very easily. And then the last thing there in your message notes is that this is for his glory. For his glory. When Paul, and he's just caught up, he gets to like this benediction. I mean, the thankfulness of his soul is just welling to overflowing. And he says, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He's just caught up in this moment and he's just praising God for his qualities and he's just proclaiming that it's God that deserves honor and glory forever and ever. I mean, he's not done writing 1 Timothy here, but he's gotten to a point where he is so inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. He's so excited about what's going on right here that he brings up this benediction of praise. I believe at this moment, Paul needed to take, you know, using our imagination, Paul needed to take a little break and just thank God for what was going on. And then he picked up the pen and continued to write or to dictate the rest of the book of 1 Timothy. And so during the season of thanks, we too need to thank Jesus for what he does in our life. We need to thank him for the strength that is available for our lives, not only in salvation, but for every piece of our life. And we need to thank God that we too, like Paul, had a Jesus story, that we have something that can be used for others to bring them to the kingdom so that they can have what we have in Christ. And our testimony is simple. It's before Christ, these were the things that were going on. How I met Christ, these are the details. And now that I know him, this is the difference that he's making in my life. Each one of us can do that. And our testimony is powerful, which leads us to the gospel, as Paul described the gospel and how he was a grand display of the grace and mercy of God for the glory of God. We have so much to be thankful for. And as we're counting our blessings, as we're naming them one by one, listen, let's not forget to thank our Savior who died on the cross for us, that did what we cannot do for ourselves. We're going to have an invitation time. We're going to have a moment of prayer. And this is a time when we open this invitation. And if you want to pray here at the front, if you want to join our church, we have a couple coming down today that's joining the church. You could join them. And maybe it's just a time that you spend some time thanking God for his rich blessings in Jesus, that you too thank God for Jesus. This is going to be God's invitation time for you. So would you please stand as we have a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We're so thankful for what you've done for us in Jesus. Father, we have been immensely blessed. And Father, could we be a blessing to others, even through sharing our testimony with them? So Father, I pray that you would be with us during this invitation time. Father, thank you for this couple that's coming down and others. And we just give you the glory in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.